Good morning. Today is Friday, November the 6th. Joining us this morning is Eureka's interim city manager. Nice moth.
I thought you were going to call me Moth.
No. Mothra. Right here, right now. No, I don't think so. At least not right now. Winston, why do we say that do you have?
Good. The moth's flying away from me so I can stop waving my hands around. We hinted this one yesterday. What is the reason an army officer is called a brass hat?
Probably has to do with his medals, or the stars.
I would assume that, yeah.
Or rank, I guess, would be the easiest way to say it.
Most high-ranking army officers do have large amounts of gilt ornamentation on their caps. Since the common soldier always disparages those above him, he calls this ornamentation brass, and the officer a brass hat.
Ooh, if they discourage him, you'd think they'd call him an ass hat.
A what?
An ass hat.
I see. The real Miles is beginning to show himself. How you been?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, plugging along. It is interesting with the semi-election results. Now, the certification still has to be done. Is it on the 30th? Or is it the last meeting day at the supervisors, the 24th.
I believe they have 30 days from the election.
Oh, so you think it might be first week in December then?
To do it. I mean, typically it doesn't take that long.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it's, moving at a snail's pace. I know where that one came from, too.
That was yesterday's question.
Yeah. At this point, happy, surprised? What are your thoughts?
I don't really put an emotion to it. I think that, you know, our
well,
residents,
the sales tax extension, I would think that there's a little bit of an emotional connection.
Well, I think that it's good that, you know, we have an informed residence and they understand the importance and the need. I think that's great. I think, you know, the next step now is going to be to make sure that we, you know, take care of those priorities. It's not over yet, but it does look good. So, you know, we're definitely ready to do so. I think that our finance director said it best the day after when we felt somewhat confident. And he said yesterday, November 3rd was probably a really bad day for potholes. So.
Oh.
You're supposed to get that. Come on.
No. Yeah, shit. You want to survive this show? I was focusing on the first syllable and trying to figure out how nice. I'm really sad, I guess, that the old Arthur Johnson's location is now a pot retailer. It's like, you know, that was the prime retail space in the county at 5th and F there. And now to see that type of business in there, it's like, oh, man, really? It's gotten to that spot? It has.
It's based on zoning, and I think that, you know, we've...
Yeah, and the lack of retail and turnover and change, but it's still...
Yeah, and I'm, you know, it's not the end-all be-all, I don't believe, but it's definitely been a good revenue generator for the city as far as permit fees. I think that we've done a good job of laxing our zoning requirements and our cannabis regulations so that we can attract businesses. We've done a really good job of that so far. I believe we're well over $930,000 in permit fees since we've been doing this. And so,
how much has been sold? Can you extrapolate?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you, but I could tell you that...
Because it's all taxable, right?
It is, but we don't have a specific tax, and that's one of the reasons why we're pretty desirable. We don't have a cannabis tax.
Like a premium?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you track that as a category, I would suspect.
We could do it based on the business.
ID code, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, we could do it on the business, and it would just be the sales tax associated with it. But the lack of that, you know, specific tax for it, I think, has been beneficial to the city, and we've got a lot of desire from people trying to come into town. You know, we don't have
people drive to Arcata to avoid, let's say, a 0.1% or 0.25, whatever it might be?
Oh, I don't think so.
Neither would I.
No, I think that they would, you know, especially...
They're not doing it for other items. Why would they do it for that?
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at a vehicle, you know, if you're looking at, you know, let's say the car costs $100,000. You know, your difference between an 8.5 and a 9.25 is relatively in the
about 50 IQ points.
Yeah.
No, I would say, you know, if there was the opportunity for marijuana specifically, mm-hmm. to have a, I mean, can, is there flexibility to do that?
To do
if the city council determined that they wanted to charge marijuana sales, retail sales, a surcharge just for that,
yeah,
they could do that without forming a special district or any of those kinds of things.
Yeah,
or assessment district.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was done. I believe the county doesn't. I believe Arcata does, but
oh, so Eureka's kind of odd man out in that one.
Yeah, we okay. don't have a specific tax for it.
Yeah, I just was curious how much. How much is being sold? Yeah, because you saw them all pop up. Some are starting to close, some are expanding, some are moving, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just, you know, intuitively, I know what my thought is, but I'm wondering yeah. dollars and cents if there's any way to track.
I'm sure from the dispensary standpoint, we definitely could, but a lot of our, you know, cannabis businesses are not retail. They're, you know, extraction. They're
oh yeah, the manufacturing that stuff.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Does,
yeah. No way.
But it creates a lot of jobs. I should know that number, but we definitely have created a lot of jobs from this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting long-term how that one plays.
Yeah, but, you know, regardless, and I've heard the naysayers about it, I think one of the biggest benefit is that, you know, as you know, we have a lot of empty storefronts and a lot of empty buildings that have been vacant for a long period of time. These businesses are coming in and investing a lot of money into those infrastructure and making those shells. So, you know, even if they don't make it, that property value is going to be that much better, and that property is going to be in that much better condition.
Yeah, well, and hopefully as things change, we'll have more demand on retail space, too.
Yeah.
I still hope to be able to touch things before I buy them. Imagine that. Old-fashioned ideals, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like buying groceries over the internet. Never done it. Don't think I will.
Yeah, I have to say I've never done that either.
I want to see the apple. Come on, man.
Yes.
Oh, well. Not sample it. Before anybody gets too excited, I'm not one of those that eats.
I'm sure they could do like a virtual smelling so you can make sure it's ripe.
Man, you are so weird. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with, oh, what's his name?
You can call
Mr.
me like,
Slattery.
My utility bill comes in as Moles Flattery.
Oh, really?
Yep. My wife refuses to change it, so.
Well, yeah, there. I can appreciate that one.
Yeah.
Moles.
Yeah.
You ought to have a business card set made up of those.
Yes.
Yeah, just for giggles. Jeez. A lot of construction still going on out at the zoo.
Yes.
I know that you were hoping to have that wrapped up a little bit earlier than now. Just the normal hiccups that happen?
Some of it was relative to the pandemic, some of the steel that we needed to get. But more recently, it's been the inspections and getting the inspections done. We're having some...
Do they have to come up like from out of the area to...
Some of them, yes.
I think it would be specialized.
Yeah, some of them are specialized. You know, obviously the aerial bridges and the attachments to the trees and those type of things, definitely. But we're having a lot of problems now with the public. We're putting up construction fencing and trying to prevent people from coming in there, and they're not paying attention to that, which is unfortunate. So we're trying to find ways to make sure it may turn out that we may need to close the park. Completely, because
really?
People are
they that yeah. aggressive about it?
Yeah, they we've actually hired, well, not hired, but we recruited volunteers to go out there to tell people, look, you know, this is a great project, we're trying to get it done, can you make sure you don't go through this area?
things can fall they, out of the... You know,
yes,
I mean,
yes.
Walking mm-hmm. through a construction zone is stupid. I mean, you know, particularly when it's big, heavy things.
Yeah.
You know, they come down, you know, I don't need to take a headshot or anything like that.
There's huge cables,
just easy,
there's
just
platforms.
Transport, or transporting, no, trespassing through the area, just straight up, blatant.
Yeah,
everybody else is walking around with a hard hat, and you know, you're wearing your floppy hat.
Yeah, there's a lot of ownership, obviously, of Sequoia Park, and there's been a small contingency that feel that, you know, this is, you know, taking away from their public space. But it's not in any way. It's a temporary thing. We're just making sure that people are safe while we're constructing this. We're hoping that it'll be a month before, you know, we'll get everything secured and so that we're not having issues. But we're going to have to address the issue some way, but we'll figure it out.
Cyclone fence? Or are you doing the orange fence?
Yeah, it's just so big, you know. There's so many access points to get to where they're, you know, construction. You have
it's not just on the road that's the concern.
No, it's goes out over the forest.
Down in all over, yeah. Okay.
So if you go from the Upper Meadow down to the Duck Pond, that trail that kind of switchbacks.
Right.
It kind of goes across over that. There's some volunteer trails that are, you know, coming from the other side.
So they're down in the canyon.
Yeah, well, they're above it, obviously, but yeah.
Well, I mean, your guys are above it.
Yes.
The goofballs are below it.
So you're trying to stop them from going down that switchback and going to the Duck Pond, and people aren't paying attention.
So if you ignored it, does it change anything?
Ignored.
Yeah.
Them okay. going.
You post, say don't go. Only the crazies or the goofballs go. And if they decide that that's fits their moment, and they decide to walk that trail instead of walk the Duck Pond Road, what kind of exposure does the city have? I mean, are you guys full?
Well, the contractor has insurance, obviously, and so that's what, you know, we would go towards. But, I mean, I can tell you every experience that I've had where somebody gets hurt and it's on city property. They're going to come after the city.
Or government, huh? Who's
well,
deeper?
They'll go after everybody. Yeah. I'm sure that if you were walking next to them, they may try and sue you, too. But they would go after everybody.
Well, that's because they like me.
Yes. You know, you're a pretty big guy. We could use a volunteer like you to make sure people don't go down
there.
Yeah,
yeah. You screw up, see how I'm walking? Yeah. You can walk that way, too. Oh, is it a lot of people or just a half a dozen kind?
You know, I'm not there daily, but I'm definitely getting the emails. Yeah, I'm getting emails back and forth. It started off happening because, you know, we started doing the aerial bridges probably 3 weeks ago. And when those started going up, you know, we put a little structure on the road behind that we rerouted. And so that's worked well for the first little stretch because if something comes, you have a hard thing. But when you get in those ravines and you're going out there, it's a different game. So you want to make sure that people aren't, you know, going. And ever since then, it's been a problem and it got worse. And then we got volunteers. We thought that'd help, but it hasn't been helping and the people are still doing that. So we're looking at another ways of... So it may lead to having to close the park.
These folks must be pretty aggressive about their point of view.
Yeah, believe me, it's odd because you have contractors who are, you know, these guys are a little bit more hippy-dippy. You know, they're tree climbers, but, I mean, they're big guys, and, right. and they're being, you know, asked not to go in certain areas. And when you see construction fencing, you would think that that's pretty indicative of this is an area not to be at. And so,
right.
But they're not paying attention. Or they're outright disregarding what it says.
There really is no way you can stop them other than tasers.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
probably would be frowned upon, huh?
Well, we could close the park. I mean, you know, it's not like
closing the park isn't going to stop it. You don't
have
gates all the way
not.
Around. Or
yeah,
you cycle
and the last thing we're going to do is bring law enforcement into this or anything like that. It would just hope that look. It's a short period of time. There's other trails that are accessible. The whole other side of the park is available, and so I don't understand why there would be an issue.
So what if you watered it, sprinkled it?
See, the rain may help.
Now you got mud, right?
Yeah,
nobody's going to be trying to walk on mud. They're going to slip and slide. And
yeah.
Just another random thought.
So we could sprinkle the sprinkler the forest.
Just the area of concern. I had that suggestion for Randy Mendoza when he was having some issues at, I think it was 420 over in Arcade at the park.
Oh, just sprinkle it,
just sprinkle it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's irrigation day.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're having a good time, that could add to it.
You know, somehow that just never defined in my lexicon a good time. What a shock. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
My name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. So, Miles, if H continues to pass, so it's a thumbs up, what are you seeing as the number one priorities or the first things on your checklist when those monies keep coming in or there's that little bit of extra bump? Is it going to go to roads first? Is that, pardon me, well, PG&E squares first?
So, well, first off, you know, we want to maintain services. You know, we had some significant cuts in preparation for, you know, some of the estimated revenues coming in from the pandemic. And so this fiscal year, we took a lot of cuts, and we want to make sure that we maintain the services. A good portion of that funds were to maintain services at an existing level. Then we'll go based off of the polling, which potholes was the number one priority. We are hoping...
Potholes, or is it
It's
roads.
Road maintenance. Yeah. You know, excuse me, I just used potholes. Because it's a bad day for potholes.
Yeah, okay, fine. I don't want to screw up your little role there.
But, yeah, it'll be road maintenance. We're hoping that this will, you know, at least triple, if not quadruple, the amount of funding that we have towards road maintenance. So we'll be doing a lot more bids for road improvements. It's definitely going to be a game changer in that area there. And then, you know, obviously, I think the quality of life things are extremely important. Of course, public safety. Those were kind of the top priorities, and so, you know, making sure that our public spaces are well taken care of, our facilities obviously have a lot of deferred maintenance, and then obviously public safety is extremely important to the community.
There was discussion last week about the county with the OES network, I guess being ignored might be the simplest way to see it, and communications. I know you guys are involved with that, but it kind of sprung into dispatch. From your point of view, is it time to consolidate dispatch?
Oh, man, you're going to go there, huh?
Well, Billy was on yesterday, and I know that there's going to be a presentation coming up halfway shortly, mm-hmm. And the studies have been put together. It shows that it makes sense. I mean, it made sense 20 years ago when we first started hearing about it. Just, I mean, if nothing else, if you got 20 people in there and somebody calls in sick,
yeah.
Okay, everybody does a little lift and you're okay. You have a two or three people and somebody calls in sick, ro-ro,
yeah.
you're losing a huge chunk. So I would think that there's synergies associated with that.
I agree. I think the issue is going to be is people getting together and coming to one consensus. Who's going to be overseeing it? Is there a new mechanism for the oversight of it?
Yeah, like a GPA or something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's...
Give you another meeting to go to every month. I know. All the city managers and CAO can get together and see how dispatch is going.
You know, we've done really well in our dispatch arena. Our human resources department has come up with kind of a dispatch trainee. And so, you know, the turnover there has always been a big issue in most dispatch organizations. But we've done pretty good with this new program that we've had, and we've been pretty successful with maintaining the staffing levels that we need. But, you know, we're more than interested to partner and work with people if there's a better solution, for sure.
Yeah, it seems like there's opportunities, not just in that area, but in everything else, as things have changed so much, and everybody's kind of looking at different approaches. Okay, that would seem to be... I mean, the consolidation of the fire department, mm-hmm. with the district, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. This would seem to be another one of those types of things. Yeah. The other thing that I'm kind of having fun with is the expansion of Semper Virens. You know, I mean, if there's, I don't think there's any place other than the city of Eureka that deals with the shortage of Semper Virens beds. more than what Eureka does. Mm-hmm. Is that something? Is the city talking to either DHHS or the county folks, maybe in a different department, about how do we expand this? How do we get the capacity up so that we are able to deal with the challenges that are in place and the folks that need the help that you're able to?
Yeah, we have meetings with DHHS and Connie all the time and have these discussions. We're working on even at the municipal level of hiring mental health clinicians to help out with EPD and some of the responses that we have.
And do
alternative responses with not necessarily police officers doing it with
yeah, you
alternative
don't have to
response.
Send a gun when it's a potential discussion.
Yeah, but it's a much bigger discussion, I would say, for Semper Virens and, you know, the funding associated with that and the expansion of it. It's been a huge topic of conversation, and we're definitely trying to work with them to find, you know,
is it money or is it staffing? Or
I think
or
it's
will.
Both. I think it's both. I think that it's a capacity issue as well as a fund, you know, as a staffing and the ability to have enough staff to oversee however many people you have there.
Your sense, is there a desire to have an expansion? Is it a goal that people are working towards and trying to figure it out, or is it just roadblock, and you know, we just keep throwing roadblocks out? Geez, we'd love to, but, and then here's the roadblock of the
moment. I don't think they're intentionally throwing roadblocks out there as if they don't exist. They definitely exist, and so we just need to find ways to work around those roadblocks. I think the interest is there, and I know that from the elected official standpoint, it's been a very big topic of conversation, and we're trying to...
Really?
Yes.
What a shocker! KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. What is the next little bit look forward, or what are you looking forward to? I can tell that it's in late fall because the street sweeper's out now a couple times a week. Getting the stuff ready for the rain so that we don't have all the needles and everything in the system. Mm-hmm. What other things is the city doing now in preparation for wintertime?
Well, I mean, obviously our streets and the streets crew are out sniping, is what they call it, and cleaning out the gutters and those type of things. Obviously,
they have a word for cleaning out the gutters that isn't cleaning out the gutters?
No, it's sniping.
Okay.
But the, obviously our parks is changed. You know, you're not out whack-a-mole and mowing the lawns all the time. So it's a good opportunity to catch up on some of the maintenance of the parks. We're going to start doing a lot of that. We're we're going to be putting out an RFQ for a design build for 2030 Park. So during the winter time,
yeah, that was something you were pretty excited about a couple months ago, is be able to start getting some motion and some positive stuff around that.
Yeah, we just got the packet put together, and it's going to go out to bid hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And so during this, you know, wet season, we'll be designing and getting some more public input about the park. We're doing the same thing currently right now for Cooper Gulch. We're doing another survey for that because there's another Prop 68 grant that's coming out. And so
now, are those the neighborhoods that are the voices you're interested in? Because I would think, you know, if I'm living out in the cutting end of Eureka, mm-hmm. for me to comment on 2030 is kind of goofy. I mean, that's not my neighborhood. That's not the park I'm going to have my kids to.
I can tell you when we're done with it, it will be. I think that there's going to be a huge desire to go to that. It's going to be a really, really impressive park. I mean, we have $6 million upgrade that park. It's going to be impressive. And, you know, it depends on where you're at. That you may call that a neighborhood park. It connects a lot of different neighborhoods for sure.
Well, I mean,
but I would say Cooper is more of a regional park. I mean, you have... you know, a skateboard park there. You have disc golf. There's people that come from a lot of areas.
There's exceptional things, but like Carson Park, I mean, okay, it's a eight block circle, and there you go. And somebody else has another, you know, Ross or whatever. I mean, unless there's really something very cool, very different.
Yeah, and I think that Carson, you know, with the funding that we can get at Cannes, Cooper Gulch, definitely we want all of Humboldt County. I think that, you know, we have programming there that serves, you know, people that are outside of the city. Definitely we have, you know, facilities there that serve people outside of the city. And I think that that's a much more regional park. And this grant here, we're looking at, you know, upgrades to the building. You know, there's going to be a lot of...
new toys, though?
Yes, of course.
Now, is there going to be a connection on the 14th that's passable by families?
So all of the grants that we've had, you know, depending on the priority, we really want to do that because it would provide access to that neighborhood, all the way up to the high school almost, where you could walk from there and get access to the waterfront trail pretty easily. And so we're looking at not only a connection point at 14th Street, but also getting across Myrtle and using some of the Humboldt County Office of Education property there to go through that green belt and then come back around.
Now that'll be a challenge for you, won't it?
It's not too bad, actually, since the work they did on that drainage, there's a temporary road.
No, I'm thinking about keeping fencing in place instead of having things cut and people living in there. I know, Chris, I mean, you go by, you see that.
No, I know.
The fence
but
gets cut almost daily.
You know, the usage there, and probably, you've seen it, will help out a lot with that.
Yeah,
I think much more so than a fence would.
Hooray. Hey, well, let's put in a fish pond. That'll give us a little use too, huh?
Yes.
Or the old orchard.
That would be nice. Huh?
Bring back the orchard. Oh boy! All right, I'm about to slip off into nostalgic historical comments for that area. So let's just kind of say no. Oh, are you worried about any gatherings? Or are we going to be able to have some of the events like around the gazebo this year?
So, you know, we've been good at, you know, coming with alternative methods. For Halloween was a perfect example. You know, we didn't do our carnival. We spread it out over three different parks, and we'll be looking at, you know, creative ways of making sure that whatever stage in the pandemic in, we'll be able to provide, you know, the same programs.
All right. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. How's that for weird?
Hey.
Happy Thanksgiving. See
happy
you after.
Happy Thanksgiving. All righty.
See everybody on Monday.